You can go ahead to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to be. But while you're also turning there, I want to ask you to do something different this morning. If you have something that you're taking notes, you have a piece of paper and a pen, you can do it old school. Or if you need to pull out your phone, you can pull out your phone and open up a note. Or you could do like what I do when I have to do something important. You can write yourself an email. You can write yourself a text, whatever you got to do. But I want to invite you, pull out something that you can make a list. And I want to ask you right now just to take a couple of moments and just write down a few names of people that you think deserve honor. Write down a few names of some people, or if you're too cool for school, you could just make a list in your mind. That's fine too. But write down some names of some people that you think deserve honor. They could be family, they could be friends, coworkers, anybody. Just write down some names of some people that deserve honor. And so then I'm just going to ask you to just, with one of those names, bring one of those names to your mind. And I just want you to ask yourself, what would you love for that person to know? What would you tell that person if you could tell them anything? If you were to show them honor in some sort of way, how would you show them honor and appreciation? What are you thankful for? What is a way that you can show with your actions how you value them? Kind of quiet and kind of, you guys might feel awkward. I'm thriving. This feels great. But I want us to be able to think about this. Man, what are some names of people that we would honor? And then how would we honor them? And I just want to ask you, man, why wait? Why wait to tell them? Why wait to thank them? Why wait to do something tangibly to honor them? We live in a time in history, at least in this part of the world that we get to live in, that we don't have a very good honor culture. There's awards, there's ceremonies, there's all that fake stuff, right? One of the only spaces that we actually have to be able to honor people in our lives is when they're already dead. So just want to ask from the very beginning, man, why wait? Let's not withhold honor to people. Don't wait. Right? If you're like me and you even go to a celebration of life or a funeral or whatever, you know, this ceremony is after somebody passes, you might even think of something that you'd want to say, but you allow the nervousness of the moment to even pass and you don't even share the honor there, right? We've got this, we're not good at honoring, right? And then if somebody even takes the time to be able to show us honor or appreciation or thankfulness, how does it feel? You can respond to me. It's cool. All right, we got some laugh. Okay, Tim, this is better than the first service. Okay, we're rolling. Okay, I'm getting something. How does it feel? Does it feel great? It feels good, right? Does any, what would you say? Okay, you want to return the favor. Man, we're getting ahead of ourselves. You're preaching. That's good. That's good. Right. How many of you, somebody says something to you and you're like, no, you, David. David's awesome. Not me, but him. He's the man. You get this deflection, right? Woody says something to me, and I'm like, nah, man, over there, right? It makes us feel awkward. We don't really know because we feel like, man, is it even Christian to be able to be like, thank you? Kind of feel selfish, right? Hey, we're going to be walking into this text today in Romans 12, and we need to do a better job of receiving honor. We also need to do a better job of giving honor. And so we're going to be stepping into this challenge. We've been walking through Romans chapter 12, and it's this way that God is calling us to live, which is totally different than the culture around us. And when we were reading through, as a family, we came to verse 9, And it starts off just by saying, let love be genuine, or let love be without hypocrisy. And we just slammed the brakes. And Pastor Tim and I were like, man, everything that we do this year as a family needs to be about exploring that and being that as a church family. Man, could we be, what would it look like for us as Mountain View Chapel to be able to be known as their love is genuine? That's what we're striving to learn to become. And so in this paragraph that we're walking through together, it's just describing, man, different ways that we can do that, that we can allow love to be genuine. And so today we're just going to be talking about honor. And we're going to be reading, I'll read verses 9 and 10 for us, but we're going to just focus on the last phrase in verse 10. But this is what it says. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And here's today. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so, since we're not good at showing honor, just want to, from the very beginning, just begin to ask, man, what if we lived different? What if we, as this church family here in Madison, Virginia, what if we began to walk in this and we began to actually develop this culture of honor, one that valued one another, one that respected one another, one that lifted up everybody else? Why? With a desire that we could reflect the heart of Jesus to each other and the world around us. What would it look like if we lived that? I can't even wrap my mind around the fullness of that and what it would do, how it would disturb the darkness, what type of freedom we would experience, what type of marriages would be restored, what type of addictions would be relinquished, what type of ministries would be sent out. What would happen if we began to live in this honor culture where we're just obsessed and we're taking this scripture at its word, where we're outdoing one another in showing honor? What would it look like if we began to do that? And so let's define honor a little bit, give us a working definition, and then let's walk through a little bit today. So today, main idea, one sentence, I want to leave you with this. Honor is a heart posture that sees people the way God does and treats them accordingly. Honor is a heart posture that sees people the way that God does and treats them accordingly. All right, so if you're like me, a million questions just come and you're like, oh. And so that's what we're going to do. If you're like me, then let's answer some questions, right? But man, let's walk through scripture. Honor, I didn't really realize until we were talking this week as study team, it's all throughout scripture. It's everywhere. I didn't really notice this, but even in the Ten Commandments, if you boil them down, four of the Ten Commandments are about honoring God, and then the other six are about honoring others. So if you boil it down, what does it say? Honor. Right? I mean, so that's kind of a weighty thing, right? Man, we're called to honor positions of authority. We're called to, in this verse here, we're called to outdo one another in honor. Right? And then we see within Jesus, how do we see what we're talking about? This working definition of honor, this heart posture that sees people the way that God does and treats them accordingly. How did Jesus walk this earth? What did he do? He embraced the heart of the Father. Who did he go after? Who did he spend his time with? The overlooked? The overwhelmed? The outcast? He spent time with the broken, the sick, the needy, right? All of those who were in need of honor. They were being dishonored. They felt overlooked. They felt like no one could see them. What did Jesus do? He got down on his knee. He looked at them eyeball to eyeball, and he showed them the way that God the Father loves them. He showed them value. And it wasn't based off of what they could do for him. It was based off of what? How the Father sees them. Created in the image of God for relationship with God, but lost, discouraged, and broken. And so Jesus spent his time going to people, showing them the love of God, and helping them believe that God is there for them, pulling out that image of God in them so that they could begin to experience what it means to walk in relationship with God. Jesus was honoring people that you and I are so often guilty of overlooking. And the Bible is training us to embrace God's heart for the world and to show love and to serve from that place. So the amazing thing is that as we step into this, as we learn how to develop this culture of honor and love among one another, what begins to happen is we get to join with what God is doing in this world. It's the beautiful thing. It's the beautiful thing, right? And honor just isn't about respect, but it's about reflecting Jesus. Because when we honor God and we honor others, people are lifted up and encouraged. People are strengthened. And we get to reflect the love of God to this world. Right? So within this passage, what does it say? Outdo one another in showing honor. Right? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't just say, occasionally show honor. It doesn't say, hey, after somebody has passed, show honor. What does it say? Outdo one another in showing honor, or some of the other translations that you may have before you, show preference for one another. Put others' preferences before yourself. Okay. So what is it implied here? It's like this godly competition. We're supposed to create this family unit where we're so obsessed with pointing out what God is doing in the other people that all we're doing is consumed with, yo, I see God doing this in you. I sense that God wants me to tell you this. Man, thank you so much for serving the kids. Thank you for so much for coming over and just giving me a hug on my bad day. Thank you so much. Just honor, honor, honor. And what begins to happen is as we all do this, we're all taken care of. We're all being honored as we honor each other. And so what begins to happen with this, I mean, I'm telling you guys' faces is just a reflection of the darkness that is afraid if we get this. If we get this, man, I cannot wait to see how you guys step up and you get to be able to take God at his word. Being blessed. I didn't even need to step up here and preach, man. Pat brought it. As Pat steps up, we get to honor, man, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being real and raw and showing us, man, what it looks like to trust God. And as we do that, man, he's bolstered. He's going to be encouraged to do it again. Do we need to hear Pat share his heart again? I do. Right? We honor him. We go. We're empowered to all do this together. As we create this culture of honor, we're going to begin to step up in new ways. And what begins to happen is as I'm speaking, because what begins to happen is we begin to allow God to speak through us. And so what happens when I'm speaking on God's behalf to you? It's correcting the narrative that we're listening to from outside. It's confronting the narrative from the devil himself. It's confronting whatever it is, the lies that you're telling yourself, that you're believing about yourself. So when we open up and we allow God to speak through us and to encourage somebody else, it's helping us to be able to better understand how God sees me so that I could begin to see other people how he sees them, and I could love them according. What would begin to happen if we began to have this culture where we're just, I just want you to be able to understand how proud God is of you. You don't need to earn God's love. Man, you receive it. You walk in it. Man, I'm so proud of you for the way that you're stepping up. You're learning how to be able to read your Bible. Man, keep going. Man, I'm proud of you teens that are stepping up and wanting to go on the mission trip. Man, I'm proud of you for taking that step. Let's keep going. Man, as we focus on pulling the best out of each other, man, we begin to experience the move of God in profound ways. And so why is it important that we encourage each other? I'm glad you asked. What happens? Number one, man, it affirms our God-given value. So when you honor somebody, when you go out of your way to be able to love them the way that God does, you're being a visual representation of the love of God on their behalf. It does a whole lot to combat the feelings of insecurity and rejection and insignificance that we wrestle with. It affirms our God-given value. Number two, it encourages and strengthens us, right? Honor has the power to uplift and inspire us. A simple word of encouragement or an act of recognition can give us the confidence to keep going even when we're tired. And when we feel honored, we're most likely to continue doing what we've been doing, right? Some of the most powerful words that have been shared for me empower me in ministry. Because oftentimes it's not from who you would expect to hear. But they're like, man, thank you so much for doing this. What do you think that does for me? Even though it's hard, you keep going because you realize that, man, God's at work. When you share, when we share what God is doing and what God is speaking as we serve each other and honor each other, it keeps us going to keep going, right? It motivates us. But it keeps, number three, man, it motivates us to honor other people. Man, Chelsea's about to preach on this one. And she said, What happens when you get honored? Then you're like, man, I need somebody else to feel this way. Man, I need the Spirit of God to use me to be able to pull something out of somebody else. I want to be used to be able to pick somebody up, right? It creates this cycle, this family where we're just not focused on ourselves anymore, but we're focused on other people and lifting them up. Number four, it reflects God's love, right? It reminds us of how God sees us. How many of you need to be reminded of the fact that God loves you? How many of you need to be reminded of the fact that you have been chosen by him, that you are worthy, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf? Number five, man, it draws us closer in community. It helps us to be the family that we're striving to be. So honor strengthens our relationships by building trust. And when people feel honored, they feel this sense of belonging and purpose. And so let me give you an example. So when Marissa and I lead trips, whether it's to Bible camp or to summer camp or on mission trip, one of the things that we love to do every single night is we just try to do what we call shout outs. So everybody gets in a circle, and just over the course of the day, we just encourage everybody to, hey, look at everybody around the circle and try to notice how you saw them step out of their comfort zone. Just give them a shout out. Be like, man, Lexi, the way that you went over and you served that girl today, man, I love that. I know that was uncomfortable for you. Thanks for stepping out. Shout out. Boom. And just do this, right? Every day. Just, man, thank you for doing this. I saw this in you. What ends up happening, the last day, we make this be a time of honor. We make this be a time where it's not just noticing things that people did, but what begins to happen? The Spirit of God just uses this. It begins to be a time where the kids are looking at each other and say, man, I see this in you. Don't give in. They begin encouraging and honoring each other. Hey, don't give up. I know when you get back home, I know you're going to be tempted to do this, but don't do it. And they're speaking this. And what begins to happen? Man, this is like this weep fest. We're like blubbering the whole. It's incredibly, awesomely weird. But what begins to happen is as we are honoring each other, we are literally practicing, outdoing one another in honor. And what begins to happen is we feel this sense of brotherhood and sisterhood. We feel that we're a family. We feel like, man, we can do this. We can stand together when we go back home. That's a picture of what we want for our family here. That we would be able to not just keep things to ourselves that we notice from each other, but to be able to keep each other going and motivated to outdo one another in honor. But what keeps us from doing that? It's uncomfortable. It's not what we're used to, right? I want to give you two things and then we're just going to close. We might need to just turn over something in one of these two. So I want to give God space to be able to just tap on us. What's keeping you from honoring others? First thing, it's our own sin and shame. Our own sin and shame. And again, we all sin. We are all in the same boat. But what keeps us from being able to step outside of ourselves is the fact that we're in sin, right? There's no way around it. But what happens when we are in this cycle of sin is we just become so self-absorbed that I cannot honor you. Because what is sin telling me? That life is about me. That it's about me and what I want, when I want it, and I don't care what I have to do to get it, right? Evaluate yourself, man. This is all of us. It's wicked. Okay? And so when we are in this sin, then it makes it impossible to be able to get outside of ourselves to be able to honor somebody else. Right? But then take it a step further. When we have this continued unrepented sin in our lives, the Bible tells us that it actually makes our heart hard. We become numb to the things of God. You want to talk about honor, write yourself a little note and read Romans chapter 1 about what happens when we give ourselves over to sin and we don't repent. This hardening of our hearts, right? But then shame, right? When we do sin, when I sin, shame becomes this thing that keeps me back from allowing myself to be used of God, right? I know what I did yesterday. And now the Spirit of God says, hey, share this with Sean. And I'm like, but I did this, God. And I just allow my shame to keep me back from allowing me to be used of God to get outside of myself. Our sin and our shame, they keep us stuck. But the second one, comparison. Comparison. This is even worse because this gets like really real, really quick. We don't honor each other because we are stuck in this comparison loop. Because I feel like I'm due honor. And because I'm due honor and recognition, I withhold it from giving it to other people. I mean, this is what's happening in all of us. So it's just, I mean, come on, we're all stuck. So let's address this. We're trying to be this family that God's called us to be. And so we got to be real with the struggle that we've got. We keep giving into sin and we love ourselves too much. I mean, is that not an evaluation of what's going on? And so what happens is when we're too focused on ourselves, it's really impossible for us to be able to get outside of ourselves and to be able to honor and lift somebody else up and to put their needs before our own. Right, so what are we to do? What are we to do? It's another really good question. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. What are we to do? How can we do this? How can we do this as a church family? Because if we could tap into this, if we could begin to build this culture of honor, What's going to happen is everyone is going to grow. Everyone's going to grow. Our relationships between each other are going to flourish and God is going to be glorified. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. Where all of us are growing and becoming more and more healthy. Where our relationships together are flourishing. They're getting better and better. We're able to rely more and more on each other. And then God is glorified. I mean, it's like a glimpse of heaven. And we can walk in that now. We can walk in that now. But what are we to do? How do we do this together? Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Starts off by saying this. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy of being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one mind. Right? So what do we do? How can we do this? How can we live in this culture of honoring one another? Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So are we doing this just to be able to be a group of really good men and really good women? Or is there this invitation for us that if we would embrace the mind of Christ and begin to put others before ourselves, that we would begin to walk in unity? If we would begin to not do things for selfish ambition, but to begin to actually put the needs and wants and desires of other people ahead of ourselves, that's nervous because then we're so used to trying to fight for ourselves and make sure that we have our own needs taken care of, right? That's the beautiful paradox of Scripture, is that as Jesus is inviting us to be able to lay down our lives for other people, he's saying, will you trust me to provide for you, for other people, to lay down their lives for you? It's this beautiful thing, man. As I'm laying my life down for you, you're laying your life down for them, and they're laying their life down for me, and we're all taking care of each other in this incredible picture of heaven. I mean, that's crazy. And why do we do this? Do we do this because Jesus just says that would be really cool? Be a grand experiment? He says, man, Jesus modeled it for us. His love for us was genuine, right? We're learning about that. Romans 12, let love be genuine. Christ's love was genuine. How do we know? Let's keep reading. Verse 6. How do we know Christ's love was genuine? For Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our model. He laid down. Listen, if anybody had reason to be selfish, it was him. I mean, it says, man, even though he was enjoying his godness, right? We discussed, I don't know if that's a word, but we're going to roll with it, right? It says he was enjoying his godness. He limited himself for a time, taking on human form. And he lived this life that could have been all about himself because he is worthy. What does it say? It says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Right? Jesus is worthy, but he lived his life not of trying to gain recognition, but of giving it to others. of helping other people understand that even though they are down and out, that God has not overlooked them, but that God is there for them, that he loves them. He limited himself. He emptied himself. Why? So he could die in our place, so that we could be reunited in a relationship with him. Right? So how do we honor? What are we to do? If you have a relationship with God, then man, the challenge is for us to be able to create this culture of honor, and it starts with you. It starts with me. I can't wait for you to make the move, man. I start it. I need to start by honoring you, laying down my life for you, being able to notice things and be available for the Spirit of God to tell me things, to be able to encourage and pull things out in you. All the while you're doing that for me. You're doing that for the people next to you. We live in this culture of showing honor. Why? Because when we give ourselves into sin, we're actually dishonoring ourselves. When we give ourselves over to sin, we're settling for less than. We're believing the lie of the enemy that says we're not worthy. So because you feel unworthy, then give in to that. Pick up another drink. Look at something else. We're dishonoring ourselves by giving in to sin. So man, let's shake that off. Let's believe the Spirit of God that's calling us to life and begin to focus on him so we could focus on others and find freedom. That's the call today. You feel trapped in sin? Then man, let's lay it down. The team's going to come up and lead us in worship. Man, use these songs as a time for you to lay down the selfish cycle. Lay down the sin. If you're here today and you feel like you just are unworthy, overlooked, that God would never love you, man, I hope that you heard that Philippians chapter 2. Because that was for you. Christ emptied himself, laid himself down on the cross, died the death that you deserve to die, so that if you would confess that he is Lord, you would have life. So man, come find life today. Let's create this culture of honor and not allow the devil or our sin or our shame to hold us back anymore, but let's be all that God has called us to be. So Father, have your way. Do whatever it is that you want to do in us, for us. I pray if there is unrepentant sin that needs to be surrendered, I pray that you would make your presence so real that we just trust you with it, that we would turn it over to you. Somebody under the sound of my voice that doesn't have relationship with you, but they feel your calling, I pray that they would respond, that they would honor you as Lord, and that they would do that today. Thank you, Jesus, that you are worthy. So now we learn to be a people that respond to you and give you the honor that you are due. Let it be so.